The book, I Like Giving, The Transforming Power of a Generous Life, is available in stores nationwide.
Get a book called I Like Giving. It's Practical Ideas by Brad Formsma.
When we started talking about doing a giving show, I thought we got to have Brad on because he's the giving guy.
When you move from awareness into action, miracles happen.
I always say I've never met an angry, bitter, generous person, so I want to be generous.
Good morning. Will you say with me, I like giving. All right, now turn to your neighbor and say, and so do you. Okay, we'll have some fun this morning. Now, if you're anything like me, you're sitting there thinking, okay, the out-of-town giving guy just blew in. He's going to ask me for money. I'm not going to ask you for money today. I want to share my heart with you. And I've prayed this week that your heart would be open and receptive to what the Lord would have for you through his word, through the stories that I share. And I think something really good will come from that. I've been studying generosity for almost 15 years now, and I've learned many things. Today I want to share three things that I've learned about how it's changed me, how it's changed my family, and how it's impacted many, many other people. But before we do that, I want to give you a little of my backstory. You see, I was 11 years old and mom came in, it's 1981, and she showed me a picture of an ultrasound, and basically she said, you know, you're the oldest of three, but in 30 days you're going to be the oldest of five. What I didn't realize is I would become an expert diaper changer, and life was pretty chaotic in our house, and so I was looking for ways to escape. And so I started tagging along with my grandpa, who had a big commercial baking company, but then he had a small little lab test kitchen next to his office, and he would make 16 fresh loaves of bread every Saturday. And so we would get those lined up and cooled off, and then I would put them in the bag. What I didn't realize is Gramps all week long had his antenna working. He was looking for opportunities, widows, shut-ins from church, or wealthy people who he just thought, I'm going to bring them an encouraging word, and then anybody in between. Sometimes the gift of the fresh loaf of bread, he'd squeeze it in their face and say, smell that, it's so good, and love you, Gramps. He didn't know white bread isn't so good for us. But what we did know is that his heart was there, and he would give the gift of inconvenience. He'd go sit with his dad, who wasn't very nice to him, but he would still give him the gift of time. And so he was more of a showed it than told it kind of guy, so he would just show it to me, and he would model this. And I think about generosity, God's principles, Grandpa's ideas. So there's these six ways. So he would say, you can be generous with your thoughts towards others. You can be generous with your words towards other people. You can be generous in the way that you share your stuff. I'll stop at that one for a minute. That's an interesting one, right? Because the neighbor knocks on the door and says, hey, I'm making chocolate chip cookies and I'm short one egg. And can I we kind of skip to the refrigerator, get that egg, and we might even be thinking we might get one cookie out of the deal, right? I'm the only one that thinks that way? Okay, so then a week later, the neighbor comes back and says, hey, I noticed you got a new car. Mine's in the shop for a week. Can I use the car? It's quiet in here. Isn't it funny how we have a different way of what sharing is? Maybe today I'm going to be here to encourage you to look at how we share our stuff. And really, it's an invitation into being generous with what we have. We could say, Lord, would you have me share this or not? So then Grandpa would also say, you can be generous with your money. And that's so important because it's connected to your heart. Where your treasure is, your heart is also. Then he would say, be generous with your influence. You can connect people and help them go someplace that they couldn't do that on their own. We all have a sphere of influence. And then he would say, boy, giving of your time, that's important. And so he would just model these things to us and to me. And it was really, really significant. Well, time would go on and I started a business and for 17 years had a company in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And in 2005, I was on a run. And I love how we name things. Like, I'm on this gravel road that's all muddy and uneven, and they call it natural beauty. Okay, so I'm on this natural beauty road, and I'm frustrated. My family seems to be good, marriage, kids, nice home, you know, the textbook life, but something was missing in my heart. And I thought, God, what do you want me to do? And so I got this impression, I'm going to use you to encourage people in their giving and talk about the generous life, and you're going to influence influencers, and those influencers are going to influence other people around my heart for generosity. I'm like, what in the world? I don't even leave for spring vacation. But I went home and journaled it and purposed it in my heart. And a couple years later, I ended up selling that business and spending time just talking about generosity and pulling people together to do that. And so that brings me to the first thing I want to teach you today that I've learned. It's the idea of awareness. When we move from awareness to action, miracles happen. So when we move from awareness to action, miracles happen. We got to get our antenna working, right? Grandpa showed me, hey, all week long, I'm looking and I'm listening. I've got that antenna up. Did I see something? Did I hear something? And there's something so significant about that. For our family, it looked like going down and getting our newspaper, and there's a picture of a Sudanese father and son. And the article went on to say that they were firebombed out of their village. They ended up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. They had clothes on their back and they had a few bikes. In fact, the bike was how the dad got to work. The other bike was how the son, that's his toy. And some thugs stole the bikes. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. This is crazy. So I go into our house and I pull everybody together and I read it. We have a 10, 7, and 2-year-old at the time. And I'm like, what should we do? Now, I married somebody opposite. I don't know if you guys have had that in your life. So I'm the idea activator guy. My wife's like the planner. We're going to do this. And, you know, so I'm messing up the plan. But I've learned if you bring the kids in on, you know, with around generosity, it softens the future conversations about messing up the day because, hey, we're modeling generosity. So this is what happens. My oldest son's like, we got to go get him bikes. And I'm like, you're right. We got to go get him bikes. And so we head off to the store. We fill the back of the minivan with bikes. We're going down the road. And my wife says, hey, idea guy, where do they live? And I'm like, oh, rats. They didn't put it in the newspaper. You got to be kidding me. So we call the church, which isn't a good idea on a Sunday morning because we're all in here, right? And so they, hello. And hey, we read about this article. We want to get them bikes. The guy's like, just give the bikes to Wheels for Jesus. I'm like, no, this isn't about Wheels for Jesus. They have an immediate need, and I want to model generosity just like Grandpa did to me. Okay, well, it's in this general area, as if I'm like a spooky giver or something. He didn't want to tell me right where it was. So for 4 hours, we drove up and down this one neighborhood. All three of my kids are here to attest to this story, by the way. There's Cheerios all over the back of the car. And when we find them, all the dad can say is, I like bike, I like bike, I like bike. And we're like, okay, cool, you like bikes. So we're driving away. And two things were said that changed the trajectory of our life and our family forever. One was my wife said, you know, I kept hearing this voice in my head that there were hundreds of bikes that were already dropped off to these people. And yet no one brought a bike. It's like God gave us an assignment. And then my oldest son said, Dad, that was way better than going to the water park, which we were going to do in the afternoon. When kids experience the truth, which Pastor read, that it's better to give than receive. It's a powerful, powerful seed that's planted in their life. And you know what? There were moments when my grandpa had planted that, and I went out and tried to find my way in my 20s and grow a business and be all self-focused. But those seeds, when they're planted early, are so powerful, and they come back. And I want to encourage you to look at that. That's why I'm giving my life away to inspiring people to live generously, because I know when through story they see through God's word what it means, it's a game changer. So then I'm talking to a friend one day and he's like, I like cavities. And I'm like, what do you mean you like cavities? Are you kidding me? He's like, no, remember I like bike. And I'm like, of course I remember telling you that story. He's like, well, I was at the dentist. And you know me, like, I'm introverted. I'm still not sure if I even like people. And he's like, I'm like, I got to just get up and do it. So he goes to this lady and he says, I just overheard you say $926. I want to pay for that. And he gets out his credit card and hands it to the cashier. When I'm with Dave Ramsey, I say debit card. And he said, I just lifted a burden from that person. Right? In Galatians, we read that. We can bear each other's burdens. Tears flow down the face of this single parent. And he said, I give away tens of thousands of dollars a year. I'm blessed. I have a business. I have these different things. But my wheels didn't hit the ground the whole way home. He said, I never would have done it if it wasn't for your crazy bike story. Okay, so I like cavities. When we move from awareness to action, miracles happen. And, you know, I travel so much now for business when speaking in organizations and churches around a culture of generosity. So, you know, you go to an airport bathroom, like if they're clean, that's a bonus. So I was in this one airport bathroom and it was sparkling. And this guy was doing such a great work making it clean, and his cart was there all organized, and you could tell he cared about his job. And I got that nudge. You know how you get it sometimes? Like, I'm going to give a compliment. And like, I'm the giving guy, and I denied it. I'm like, that's weird. I'm not talking to the guy in the bathroom. So I get about 10 steps out. The nudge comes back. Don't you love how the Holy Spirit's so gracious to us? Like, all right, you missed, but we're going to try this over again. So I go back and I said, sir, I just want to thank you for making this bathroom so nice and clean. And I travel a lot and I greatly appreciate that. And so we shake hands. His hand is just big, leathery hand, buries mine. And I said, I'm Brad. And he said, I'm Conrad. And big booming voice. And as he turned, I noticed that his name patch was blank. And I said, oh, Conrad, if you worked for me, your name would be on your shirt. You matter. I think you're a good man. And you could see that big one tear in the corner of his eye and a smile pulled across his face. And I like floated away from him and caught up with my wife at the coffee shop. And she's like, you're glowing. What happened? And I'm like, just went to the bathroom. No, I said, I just met Conrad. Well, who's Conrad? And I'm like, no. Let me just sit in this a minute. You know, isn't that awesome when you think you're giving and you receive so much more? Again, Jesus said it. It's so true. Better to give than receive. And yet there are different ways to give. And I want to invite us into that thinking that daily, weekly, monthly, we can live the generous life. Which takes me to my second point, which is the idea of making it a habit. If we don't make the decision to live generously, life will come at us and pace of life and busy and debt and fear and all these other things will crowd it out. So I want to encourage you to consider the generous life, daily, weekly, monthly. I don't get it right every time, not even close. I think that's why the Lord has me doing this every day, practice. But what I realize is that he's not in the performance business. When I make a decision and aim at that way, about being generous, more and more opportunities come to bring it into our life. And so that's how I would ask you to consider the habit and the decision of it. And so for us, when our oldest son came to us and said, my friend Nolan, his dad has 2 months to live. I know we regularly give to our church and we love to do that. And yet we have a little money set off aside that we do things for other people. He said, I think that we should give them something. And so we decided as a family to get a gift card. And we're going to do one of those stealth giving things. Have you ever done that where you're like anonymous or just make it happen and get out of there? So we all got in our car, went over to their house, dropped off this card. We thought we made a clear break. But as my wife was getting in the car, the wife saw us from the front window. So our cover was blown. So they knew it was us. And sure enough, 2 months later, that the doctor was right and this man passed away. 3 weeks after that, we got a note in the mail that said, Dear Brad and Laura, my husband Tom was pacing back and forth in our house, asking God to provide money so that he could put new tires on my car before he went to heaven so that I would be safe. The creator of the universe works with us to be part of answering prayer. What a powerful invitation we get to be a part of. But we have to have our antennas working, and we have to have a habit and be ready for these opportunities when they come. I don't know this guy. I can't wait, like, when we're in heaven someday. I mean, is that going to be classic? Like, dude, thank you for hooking me up. I was, like, getting to the end, and I needed those tires. And I'm going to say, thank you for praying it, and thank you, Lord, for trusting me. But we all get to be a part of these unique opportunities to live and give generously. What I didn't tell you is that 2 months before this, I sat in a doctor's office and was told that I had a rare form of leukemia, that I had 2 years to live. As I left that doctor's office that day, and my whole life flashed in front of my eyes, I realized that if we hadn't made a habit to live generously, I would have passed out of fear on that opportunity. Because we were already in position. Because it's not always rainbows and butterflies. The sun isn't always out when God puts something on your heart. Sometimes he's interested in stretching us to see where our heart is, where our trust is. It's not always just the extra convenient amounts. And yet then you can bring this lifestyle to wherever you go. So now I have this cloud over my life. I'm processing, like, who walks my daughter down the aisle? Who takes care of my family? All these things flash before you. And you know, you've had your life flash before your eyes, or you will. We're here in a broken world. But having this decision and then going to the doctor, I was able to live the generous life. So I'm there, you know, they take all this blood and money from you when you go to the doctor. And the lady's name's Joy doing this. I mean, seriously? So all day long, she takes people's blood. And she's having one of these really bad days. You can, it's all written all over her face. You guys know what this looks like. And so I'm like, hey, Joy, you ever go to Starbucks, get one of those big drinks? They're like 910 calories, all the whipped cream and the drizzle over the top. And you ever go with a friend and do that? And she's like, no, but I would. And I said, okay. And so she, as her back was to me, and she's labeling these 10 different things of blood that they took for me, I slid one of those Starbucks cards on her chair. As I made it to the doorway, I said, hey, Joy, have fun with your friend after work today. Big smile broke off of her face. And I went from feeling sorry for myself to bringing some joy. Sorry, that didn't. But to somebody else. And we connected. And she felt better. It's this idea of living outside of ourselves. It's the idea of caring about where another person's at. And so then I had an opportunity to experience a miracle. The doctor told me I'd be on this $300 a day medicine for life. And I said, Doc, I just don't really like lifetime indictments other than following Jesus. And he's like, no, you're going to be on this for life. So we were together one day, and I stopped taking the medicine. And it had been a year since I'd been off the medicine. And he said, you know, it's statistically impossible it'll come back. And I said, Doc, I think we're dealing with a miracle. Now, this guy's Dr. Pompous. I don't know if you've met one before. He knows everything. Just ask him. And he is perfectly fit and perfectly dressed and everything else. And yet I'm in his life for a reason. And so I say, I think we're dealing with a miracle, Doc. And he's like, no, statistically impossible, doesn't happen. And I said, well, what about spontaneous remission? And he goes, that happens. Apparently, that's the medical definition of a miracle. He's still working on his testimony. So we go from that to, hey, those are nice shoes. And I'm like, oh, thanks, you know. Then he goes to it again, like, no, I really like the buckle on the top. And I'm like, thanks. I'm Dutch, but I like nice, so I go to Nordstrom Rack. Then he hits it again. He's like, no, third time on the shoes. I'm like, I got it. So finally I say, like, well, what are yours, like size 10? You think you're so smart. They're 9.5. And I go, in my head, I'm like, you're so dumb. You just gave the giving guy the answer. Because I got in the car and drove straight to Nordstrom Rack, turned down the aisle, and there they were, glowing 9.5. Yes, they were. So I buy them. I write them a little note. Dear Doc, these will help you be one step more like me. thank you for using your God-given gifts to help a guy like me stay around a little longer. Week later, he calls me, you're crazy. This is what he always says. He's read my book. It's funny, he had a heart attack. That's not funny, but it's funny that the book happened to end up on his nightstand. I love how the Lord delivers things. I must have sent it to him. He's like, you're crazy. You think the world can be a better place when more people are generous. And I said, yes, I do. I believe it's better to give than receive. Generosity matters for my heart. And generosity matters for our families. And generosity matters for our legacy. Generosity matters. So the third thing I want to share with you is the idea of impact. So we got our antennas working now, awareness to action. We've made the decision, the habit to live this way. What happens in the impact, we'd never know with the power of one story. One of the things I've learned to easily qualify whether or not it would be a good opportunity to give is just ask a question. So I was reading in James 1:27, I believe it is, where it talks about widows and orphans and paying special attention to them. And my grandparents were gone, so I didn't have any widows in my life, and I was getting my hair cut. And I thought, well, she's a perfect person to ask. So my hair's all shampooed, and she sits me up, and I'm like, where do I get a widow? It kind of came out funny. So I said, no, what I mean is, where do I find a widow to help? And she's like, I have the perfect person. You need to meet Evelyn. And I said, well, we really don't want to meet her. We just want to help her kind of stealth, you know. And so she was 88 at the time. So we started sending her money. And then she turned 92. And we're like, maybe we should meet this person. I mean, like, who's cashing these checks? So we go out to lunch with her. She's like this tall, and she just glows. But because you guys know this, right? The givers glow. You can tell that the oxytocin, the dopamine flows in their life. They're just fun people. Most, you know, like I always say, I don't want to be a grumpy giver because givers are fun, and they just, and this is Evelyn, and you don't have to be a millionaire to give, and she proves that again. So we go out to lunch, and we spend time together, and I'm like, I love this lady. She's just awesome. And then I find out that a publisher contacts us because of the more visible work we're doing in the generosity space, and they're like, you got to write a book. And I'm like, no, I'm not your guy. I cheated in high school English. And they're like, no, we can help guys like you. We need to do this. 44 different stories, most that you didn't hear today, that are from age 8 to 98. They're not all about money. They're all young. Some include money. So you got to do it. And so we put that book together, and now Evelyn's like 94, 96, and we go, and I said, Evelyn, we got to do this. Like, I got to have your story in the book. So I want to read just a couple sentences from her story for you today. She says, standing there on my front porch, I'm dumbfounded. Who is this anonymous stranger? Where did this gift come from? Tears ran down my cheeks, and I felt deeply grateful. And at that moment, I knew what I needed to do. You see, money is like a river. It's meant to keep on moving. And then she goes to talk on how, you know, she would take out of the money that we were giving her and she was doing for other people. I love that money is like a river. It's meant to keep on moving. Stagnant money isn't what we should have. We should make it available and move it because God brings it back to us in his unique way. It's an awesome way for us to grow in our trust of him in our life and in our finances. Evelyn, would you like to meet her? Would you like to get a little picture of her life? All right, turn your attention to the screen. By the way, you guys get, this is the bonus hour, okay? Earlier today, this wasn't working. So they just had a wonder. So next week, like, you got something on them. So this is 3 minutes. We're going to watch Evelyn, and then I'll be right back. How old are you?
97. I'll be 98 in October. I live in a retirement community. And we used to have a bus here to take people to the grocery store twice a week. And they gave that bus up, I don't know why. So a lot of people were stuck around here. Like my neighbor Joyce, who was a very shy person. She said to me, well, if they don't get another bus, they'll find another place for me to live. And she says, I just don't want to go anywhere else. I said, Joyce, I'll get you to the grocery store every week. But I lost my driver's license because somebody thought I was too old. But I didn't have a mark against me at all. I was heartbroken at that. I really was. It made me feel old. It made me feel useless. I am a good driver. I really am. I'm not fearful when I drive, but I'm very careful.
You're a hot rodder?
No.
Do you drag race a lot?
Well, I drive 65, but I obey the rules, so I went to get it back. You make a promise, it's important for me to keep that promise if it's possible. And I passed it. I'm on the earth, I'm here. If I can contribute, I should. Shouldn't we all? And not just think of ourselves.
It's supposed to get real cold. That's what you said.
Like I say, I don't have money to give, but I can give myself and my time. A lot of people in the world who don't have anybody who cares about them. So that's the way I felt. We're asked to love our neighbor, be a friend. That will give you joy. I mean, I don't do this. So you think I'm great. I don't even think of that. My daughter says, Mother, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. I'll say, well, okay. And like I say, I do what I please. I wouldn't do anything dangerous, but you know.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't she awesome? Oh. Yeah, I got the call about a year ago. You know, the call you don't want to ever get. You know, she went to heaven, and man, for days, there's just that sad but joyful reality that she was in a better place. But what a connection. What a person. Isn't she fun? This is what's interesting. We never know the impact. I asked one question that put her in a book, but beyond that, we captured this film. 8 million people watched this on the internet. I said to her one day, Evelyn, like, you're an internet sensation. She's like, what does that mean? And I said, that means that 8 million people across the globe watched your story. But this is what's so cool about capturing things on video, and it pulls into the impact of the work of I Like Giving. So I Like Giving is a nonprofit. We started in 2011 with the idea of we're going to inspire people to live generously. One of the ways that we do that is we capture short stories like this and make it available for the world to see. In church, out of church, in business, in government, in, you know, education. So National Geographic, after she passed away, they reach out to me and they're like, we want to license this. We want to show 250,000 homeschool kids a year what a generous life is like. And that we never know through our lives how that will ripple out. People ask me all the time, like, how is I Like Giving funded? And I think the easiest answer is givers say to us, well, we give to I Like Giving because we believe a generous world is a better world for all of us. We want more of that in our society. And so that's how that works. Impact. You just never know the power of one story. We've never been able to find that family that got those bikes to be able to say to them, do you realize your I Like Bike comment started this whole new language and started a movement of generosity in a sense? That'll be fun someday when we meet. So when I think about impact, I also think about how that affects your home life and your kids. And I have the benefit of having a 15-year-old with me today, my middle son, who's going on 25, which creates an interesting parenting challenge. But he also has a heart for God and a heart for generosity. And so I thought that, you know, what would be a great idea is to ask him to come up and share a few thoughts. So would you join me in welcoming Drew Formsma?
Yep, I am 15. And giving hasn't just changed me, but it's changed my friends and the people around me for the better. I remember one day, I was like, I'm going to start doing this for myself. Because my parents were doing this, and I was like, I'm going to do this for myself. So I was in line, and we're getting some ice creams with my friends. And this kid in front of me didn't have enough money. So I paid for his ice cream. And I kind of got that skip you get when you give. I'm like, I love this. And my friends are going, why do you have to do this? And I said to them, I get to do this. I get to be a blessing. You don't have to do anything. And they, over the next weeks and months, I kept doing different giving things around them. And they caught on. One day we were at Disney, and we were playing this arcade game. And we won this huge stuffed hot dog, okay? This thing was huge. And I did the little happy dance when I won it. I'm like, woo! And after I won it, we turned around. And this kid was staring straight at the hot dog. And my friend and I were like, we're going to give this thing away. So I asked his parents, hey, can I give this to your son? And after a couple seconds of the language barrier, this kid gave me this huge hug, bigger smile than his face. And that day, I can guarantee you, he didn't remember what riots he went on. He remembered that two high school kids looked out for him, cared about him. And so parents and people often ask me, Drew, like you and your family, you and your dad, you guys got it going great, but how do I start this in my family? So I came up with an acronym, M-E-E, ME, which is funny because it's not about me. So M, model. When parents model generosity to their kids, they'll follow. My dad followed in his grandpa's footsteps. I followed in my parents' footsteps. It starts with you. When you do it, they'll follow. The next is encourage it. Encourage your kids to do it. But when you force it, all the joy and benefits fall out. It becomes a duty to your kids, which that's no fun. So the last is engage. Engage your kids in it. Talk about it. Pick up a I Like Giving book and start reading some stories around the dinner table. Some people even buy boxes. It starts with you guys. Talk about it. Generosity's never talked about. So my last story I want to share with you happened on my birthday. We're sitting around the dinner table and at this restaurant. And I, out of the corner of my eye, I see this kid and his grandpa. And I looked again, and the kid was on his phone. The grandpa's staring off. And I said to my family, I've seen too much of this. It's got to stop. So as we walk out of the store, I made a little pit stop by their table and said to the kid, hey, is this your grandpa? Yeah, it's my grandpa. And I said, I bet your grandpa's got some great stories from his life. Wouldn't you want to hear some? Yeah. And I said, you're going to have to get off your phone to do it. I don't care how great at multitasking you are. And he slid his phone in his pocket so quick. That day, as I looked back through that window, I saw them talking. One question could have changed their relationship forever. Now, can't we all ask one question? We all can ask one question. In this church, in this community, in this culture, you can start today. Right now, plant those seeds in your kid's life, your grandkid's life, the people around you, because it will change them and their future. And I want you to remember, Giving is not one single act. It's not something you only do at Thanksgiving, Christmas, or Giving Tuesday, but you can do it every day. This can become part of your lifestyle. Thank you.
Good job, Drew. Oh, I love it. I love the hot dog, plush hot dog story. You know, what shouldn't surprise you, a year after my grandpa passed away, I was going through some papers, and I found a note that he wrote me. It said, "Dear Bradley, you make a living by what you earn, but a life by what you give." I thought this would be well worth remembering. Love, Gramps. He wrote that to me when I was 14. That was the date on the top, 1984. The power of a word. Significant. I think it's well worth remembering for you guys as well. You know, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men that they'll see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And I love that because that's the salt and light that he calls us to do. We get to do this. And so I want to ask you as I close to join me in prayer. May we all grow in the grace of giving. Lord, thank you for today that we could share your heart on generosity and stories that you have moved us from awareness to action. May we all make the decision, the habit to live the generous life and walk in the freedom of being prompted by your Spirit. Give us ideas, give us opportunities. Lord, today show us who our Conrad is. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for giving us Jesus. We thank you for giving us life. We thank you for this church where we can come together and be in community. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.